Chapter 3. Her hands and the way she held them. As the ferry strained forward to reach top speed, it left behind long garlands of white water at the edge of a turquoise wake. A rope hanging loose from a davit swung back and forth in the cross currents of wind, and with the slight roll of the boat as it reached open water. He had been waiting for her for the longest time, although he had not known he had been waiting. And there she was, standing before him, too beautiful for words. She spoke first, accusingly but enjoyably. "Have we met?" "No, we've collided." Lost in infatuation, he had moved incautiously ahead to the point where he was in love with even the smallest detail of her. Had she known of each, or perhaps any one of the specifics, she would have had the evidence that she had begun to sense, and that had begun to sweep over her in the rare feeling of being adored. Although she had neither designed nor sewn her blouse, nor accomplished the sinuous, restrained embroidery, nor given to the embroidery the gray and rose color of mother of pearl, she had put it on, and it embraced her hour by hour, absorbing the heat of her body and the scent of her perfume. The collar, the buttonhole, the button, the threads that made a basket knot within the button's ivory recess, became for him more than just a symbol, for he had never loved just a symbol, but a part of her, touched, regarded, accepted, and chosen by her. And of other things about her that overwhelmed him, there were many. Her hands and the way she held them, unconsciously. And yet her fingers never existed in relation to each other except beautifully, no matter how they moved or where they came to rest. "My God," he thought, "she has beautiful hands." Every syllable she uttered, the way she pronounced every word, the bell-like quality of her voice, her grace when she moved or when she was still, even the few wrinkles in her skirt.